Thank you very much. That's Benta, by the way, that's my wife. Great. Shall we pray? Father, we praise you that you sent your Son into the world, that through your Son we might know you. Father, it's astounding to think that you, in your glory, in your majesty, in your rule and in your reign, would send your Son to us, that we might know you. And so, Father, please help us with humility and with thankfulness to hear from you, to receive from you. Father, please, we pray, would you meet us this morning as we open up your word. And Father, we do pray, please, that you would move within our hearts, that we might see Christ, and in seeing Christ, that we would behold you. And so, Father, we do pray, asking for these things and for our time, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the shops are sparkling, aren't they? The decorations are going up, and it's already day 5 in the Advent calendar. I wonder if you've got your Christmas tree up at home yet. We put ours up a few days ago and cracked out the decorations from the box. We got them up on the tree and even managed to get some of those candy canes to hang on the tree as well. So ready or not, Christmas is coming. And Christmas this year feels extra precious, doesn't it? I don't know what your Christmas last year looked like, but I guess for many of us, it wouldn't have been normal. For most of us, we would have had to cancel our Christmas plans last year. And so maybe you feel extra expectant as you come into this Christmas season. I say that plans were cancelled. I mean, for us, our plans were really just postponed. Our turkey went in the freezer. It came out in May, and we ate ours in May. I don't know if you did something similar. I actually went to a carol service in August. So I guess maybe we shouldn't say cancel, maybe we should say postpone. But however things were shuffled around, it just wasn't the same last year, was it? And I wonder how you feel as you look forward to Christmas. Maybe you are excited, but maybe actually as Christmas approaches, you feel just a little bit more cynical. There's a Twitter account called Very British Problems, and it tweets out British problems. If you're not British, then I think this Twitter account gives a very good emotional insight into what it feels like to be British. And the Twitter account tweeted this one: December, eat everything in the supermarket, take everything you own and mull it, fruitlessly search for parking, fill the fridge with stuff you're not allowed to touch, wear too many layers in the shopping centre, be constantly flustered, hunt for stamps, pretend to have fun. I wonder if that sounds anything like Christmas to you. Maybe as you look forward to Christmas, you are maybe just a little bit cynical. I have to say, for me, I am a lot less cynical. I definitely love the season. I love the Christmas lights outside. I love the Christmas trees. I love the decorations. I love the food. I love the parties. I love the mince pies. I'm into double figures on my mince pies already. And I love the Christmas carols, the films, the jumpers. I do really love Christmas. But I wonder, as we look forward to the season, are we asking Christmas to carry a weight much heavier than it can bear? Maybe you've heard the song already, Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year. Or maybe you, like me, have a bit of a niggling sense that it won't be. No one wants to think about Boxing Day right now, do they? But when it comes, will Christmas have lived up to all of the expectations, all of the hype? Will Christmas have delivered what we hoped that it would? Well, for me, I think I actually already know the answer. In spite of my hopes and expectations, maybe even because of my hopes and expectations, Christmas never quite manages to live up to what it seems to promise. And given the weight that we ask it to bear, I mean, it's really no surprise, is it? We do ask Christmas to carry a very heavy weight. When we think about everything going on in the world around us, the days growing short, the nights growing longer, colder, darker, the gloomy season out there, I think in a sense makes us even more aware of a greater darkness that's in the world. If we turn on the news, we're bombarded with the latest about coronavirus across the globe and here at home as well. And if the news isn't telling us about coronavirus, then it's telling us about all of the other atrocities and tragedies that are going on across the world and closer to home. If we turn on the TV, even for a moment, we see that it's not just dark out there in the nighttime, but it's dark out there in the world in a much deeper sense as well. There is a very real darkness globally and nationally and locally. And I think we then look to Christmas and expect it to cover that darkness. But I think that's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask, isn't it, of a few presents and a turkey dinner. But it's here, into that tension, into the tension of the darkness, in the tension of us looking for some kind of solution and us not being able to find it, that the passage that we're looking at this morning speaks so very powerfully. If you have it open again in front of you, that's going to really help us. John chapter 1. This is the beginning of John's eyewitness account of the life of Jesus. And I don't know what you expect as you come to the beginning of an eyewitness account of the life of Jesus, but maybe we expect the wise men, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, the donkey, the stable. But we don't get that here. Instead of us having a historical account of the events of the birth of Jesus, instead, John peels back the curtain and shows us what is going on behind the scenes. And he wants us to see, as he does so, who God really is. And he doesn't just want us to see who God really is, he wants us to see who we really are. And as we come to John chapter 1, I think we're going to see that this account paints a picture of a world that is more honest than we might dare to admit, but also a picture that is more hopeful than we might dare to believe. You see, firstly, the Christmas story paints a picture that is more honest than we might dare to admit. One of the things that I do love about Christmas, as I've said, those Christmas lights that pierce the darkness. But that's how John describes Jesus in these verses, like light piercing the darkness. Have a look down, if you will, with me at verses 4 and 5. In him, that's Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Describing Jesus as light into the darkness paints a picture of who Jesus is, but it also paints a picture of who we are. You see, in Jesus there is light, but the world that he comes into is a world of darkness. And that rings true for us, doesn't it? We talked about the real darkness that we see out there in the world, not just longer nights, but also the darkness that we see as we switch on the news. But it's not just dark out there in the world, is it? There's a darkness that's much closer to home, a darkness that's in us. A survey of a British household has allowed researchers to paint a picture of the average Christmas day, and I wonder if this describes Christmas in your experience. The survey found that the average British family has 5 arguments. The first comes at 13 minutes past 10, as 38% of the children will moan about the presents that they've received. Later, 45% of Brits will fall out with their partner between 1 and 3 p.m., usually over the food preparation. The next family feud comes just after the Queen's speech at 3:23 and normally concerns family gossip and old family arguments. There's bickering again at 6:05 about what to watch on TV, and then again at 7:25. And then just as the liqueurs and the mince pies are being finished, tempers flare up one last time at 10:15. And it's quite revealing, isn't it? The most wonderful time of the year, the time when we're with the ones that we love. But even as we mull the wine and gather together, that darkness out there in the world still creeps in with us. Because the darkness is not just out there. The darkness is in here. The darkness is in us. And John explains that that darkness that we experience is a symptom of the greatest darkness of all. A darkness that stems from the way that we have treated the God who has made us. I look down with me at verses 9 and 10. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You see, without God, that is what we are like. And when we talk about sin, that is what is at the heart of it. You see, at the heart of our sin is a failure to receive God as he is. Sin is a failure to receive God as the creator who loves to give, and instead to look to the things of creation for our hope and our joy. Sin is a failure to receive God as the one who knows us best, and instead to go our own way and carve our own pattern for living. Sin is our failure to receive God as the one who gives light and life, and instead to think that we can find life and light on our own terms. In other words, our sin is a turning from the light and a going into the darkness. Later on in John's Gospel, we read that we are ones who have deliberately hidden ourselves from the light, that we're those who love darkness. And so we have hidden ourselves from God, putting ourselves into the darkness. And so the darkness that's in our world and the darkness that's within us are simply showing that greatest darkness, the darkness that comes from shutting ourselves off from God, the source of all light. And so when John writes about darkness in the opening of this account, he's asking us to be honest about the world and about ourselves. And I think that this kind of honesty is one of the things that is really wonderful about the gospel. You see, being honest about the darkness that's in the world around us lets us make so much more sense of the world around us than simply papering over the cracks and pretending that the darkness is not there. You see, John, for us, in this account, paints a picture that is more honest than we might dare to admit. But we'll also see that it paints a picture that is more hopeful than we could dare to believe. You see, the story invites us not only to be honest about ourselves, but also to be hopeful when we realise who God is and what God is really like. I wonder what you imagine God to be like. There's a story about a young boy waiting for his Christmas gifts. And as we'll hear, this young boy is no theologian. He gets down on his knees a few days before the big day and he prays. And he prays and saying, "Dear Jesus, I really want an Xbox." Well, he sleeps and then rushes downstairs the next day and he looks underneath the tree, but there's no Xbox. So he goes up again that night and he prays and he says, "Dear Jesus, I have been really, really good. Please, can I have an Xbox?" But again, the next morning, still no Xbox. So that evening again, he prays again, "Dear Jesus, you are really great, so special. Please, can I have an Xbox?" Still no Xbox. So that evening, our dear boy sneaks out of the house across the road to the village church, and there is a carol service going on. He sneaks to the front at the end and finds a small wooden display of the Christmas scene. Carefully and delicately, he takes the hand-carved figure of the Virgin Mary and pops her into his pocket. He then creeps home and puts the Virgin Mary into a shoebox and slides her under the bed. This time he prays one last time. Okay, here it is, Jesus. I've kidnapped your mother, and if you ever want to see her again, it's the Xbox. Well, what is God like? And maybe we think about God in the way that that boy in the story does. A God who, if we cajole, if we persuade, if we do the right things for, a God who might just dispense the things that we want, like some kind of cosmic vending machine. And maybe we think about God like that. God, I'll give you a bit of attention here. I'll go to church. I'll do the right things. And in return, I expect from you happiness. Tick. The wonderful times. Tick. But these verses reveal to us a very different God. Look at the passage again with me to see what God is truly like. Verses 1 to 3, we're reminded that God is the eternal one who has created all things. He is the one who has created everything. He is the one who has given all of the good and generous gifts in the world around us that we love. And we see that Jesus is nothing short of this God himself. Verse 3, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is nothing short of God himself, the one who has created all things. But what is this God like? Well, verse 9, we see the greatest and truest Christmas miracle of all. Verse 9, the light is coming into the world. God coming into our world in the person of Christ, being born in the flesh, the Creator becoming part of creation. What does that show us about what God is like? Well, I'm a big fan of Christmas carols, and I love how they often so beautifully encapsulate the truths of Christmas. O Holy Night is one of my favourite carols. It's really difficult to sing, but the words are really beautiful. Midway through the song, the King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our weaknesses no stranger. Behold your King, before him lowly bend. And I sometimes wonder what Mary must have looked like as she held those few pounds of flesh, cradling Jesus in her arms, wrapped and warm, red-faced and tired. Maybe she thought, I didn't think God would look like that. But weak and vulnerable, nursed in his mother's arms, Jesus reveals to us our Creator. This is a God who in his Son has become like us. He has humbled himself. He has stooped down from his throne of eternity to be born as a baby. And he didn't do this because there was something so great about our humanity that he couldn't bear to do without it. He didn't do this because, in some sense, this was an act that made him greater. No, God comes into our world in Jesus because our darkness is so great that only the light of the world could find us, enlighten us, rescue us, and bring us back. You see, this is not a God who needs to be cajoled. This is not a God who is ignoring us until we get his attention. This is not a God who is looking to be persuaded to love us or to give to us. This is a God who has come to us personally in order that he might give of himself to us. And we read in verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But incredibly, right after we read those words, we read verse 12. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Yet, in spite of our darkness, the darkness that we see writ large in our world, the darkness that we know is within us, in spite of all of this, Jesus comes to us and he invites us to be part of his family. He invites us to become children of God, part of the family, born of God. We're invited to belong. Verse 14 hints at how it is that we're finally able to belong. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John talks about seeing the glory of the Son, and the rest of the book of John will come back to that theme of glory again and again. Jesus invites people to see his glory. That means to see him as he truly is. But it is as Jesus goes to the cross that he says that his glory is most fully revealed. It is on the cross where Jesus pours himself out. It is on the cross where Jesus takes our sin and dies in our place. It is on the cross where Jesus displays his glory by making it possible for us to be part of the family of God. You see, on the cross, Jesus will embrace our darkness so that we can have his light. On the cross, Jesus will take our death so that we can have his life. One of my favourite Christmas story is Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol. And I would love to say that I love it because I love the book. But in fact, the real reason is because I love the Muppets adaptation of it. I wonder if you've seen a Muppets Christmas Carol. You might know that the happily ever after of the film, it's the family at home enjoying the feast in the warmth of the fire, in the warmth of one another's company. And the Christmas story tells us that that kind of happily ever after is on offer for us. You see, God in Christ takes the darkness on himself in order to welcome us into the warmth of his family. And so, where often Christmas time is often about trying to suppress the darkness, we put up the Christmas lights, we give the Christmas presents, and we know those things don't last. The fires, they do fade. The new gifts, they grow old. January comes and we put it all back in the box. No wonder we have to say, the most wonderful time of the year, not so sure, over-promising, under-delivering, can't hold the weight that we ask it to. Well, the invitation of Christmas through Jesus is to be part of the family of God forever. And that is an invitation that can hold the weight of not just our Christmas, but can hold the weight of our whole life. Well, I wonder where all of that leaves you this morning. Perhaps you know that you are already part of the family of God. Maybe this serves as a reminder to you that to be a Christian is to be part of that family, to share in that kind of relationship, to belong to your Heavenly Father and to receive from him. And maybe that paints a rich picture of what it means to belong to a father who loves to give. And so maybe the right response for you this morning is to give thanks, to praise the God who gives of himself, and who comes to you and asks you, will you belong to me? And maybe this encourages you to make the most of this Christmas season, to share the good news with those around you. We've seen, haven't we? We long to paper over the darkness. But what can the trappings of Christmas do to really paper over the darkness outside? Only the good news of Christ come is enough to really hold the weight of the season. And so maybe this is a reminder to invite a friend to church along to a Christmas service. Maybe it's a reminder to be ready to speak to those around you about what the Christmas season really means to you. Or maybe as you sit here, you're not sure whether you belong to the family of God. well, an invitation to be part of that family is at the heart of the Christmas message. In Christ, we receive an invitation to receive the gift of Christ himself, the light of the world, and in receiving to be part of the family of God. And could I invite you, if you never have before, to receive the invitation of Christ who calls you into his family. I'll pray, and as I pray, maybe you might like to make one of those prayers your own. First, I'll pray for those of us this morning who know that we are part of the family of God. And then I'll pray for those who may not yet feel part of that family. But let's pray together now. Father, we praise you that in Christ you come to us, that you show us as you are, that we in Christ see your glory. And in seeing your glory, we see that you are the God who loves to give and to give of your light and of your life. And so, Father, we do pray. And please, we pray, asking, would you help us to see more of what it means for us to belong to your family? Father, for the ways in which we see you as a God who loves to take. Father, please, would you correct our thinking? Help us to see you as the God who loves to give, not a God who is cajoled or needs to be persuaded, but a God who has done everything that we might belong to you. Father, help us to feel the joy that comes from knowing that we belong to your family. Father, for the ways in which we feel challenged to share that good news with others, Father, please help us to creatively, boldly, courageously hold out the good news of the light of the world to those who are in darkness. And so, Father, we do pray, asking, please, Father, would you fill our hearts with a fresh vision of Christ, the light of the world. And so, Father, we pray in his name. Amen. And Father, for those who might not this morning know you, who might not feel part of your family, Father, we ask, please, would you reveal yourself? Father, we praise you that you are the God who comes to us and who shows us as we are. Father, please help us to see the darkness that we're in. Help us to see the darkness that exists within us as we have turned from the light of life. And so, Father, we pray, please, would you turn us back to you and help us to see Christ as the one who is the light, who invites us to receive, who has done everything that we might receive that invitation, who has gone to the cross to take on our darkness, to take on our death, that we might belong. And so, Father, we do pray, asking in Jesus' name, Amen.